May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We all of us have things in our past that need healing. And let me begin as last week by touching base with some of that human reality. If you're like me, you have things in the past that make you cringe with embarrassment when you look back on them. Faux pas that I blush to remember. Often not actually very serious in their consequences, and maybe the other person didn't notice them as much as I did, but when I remember them, they're like sharp stabbing pains, and the embarrassment hits me all over again. And then there are the times when I let other people down in ways I feel mortified by, like the time when I failed to turn up to conduct a wedding because I got the wrong time in my diary. We did the wedding in the end, and the couple were incredibly forgiving, but I felt so bad about having spoilt their special day. We all have times when we let people down, and those times stay with us. But I think it's the relationships, the close relationships that go wrong, over which our regrets are deepest. We hurt most over relationships with people who mattered a lot to us, people who were close to us, people of whom we hoped a great deal. And when those relationships implode or come under severe strain because of what we did or because of what the other person did to us, it really hurts in ways that never quite go away. And the story of Jesus in the Gospel, the story of Judas in the Gospel, really epitomizes all that. Judas' deep regret for his betrayal of Jesus. How do we heal the past? How do we heal those raw, jagged memories from the past? I want to say that Christianity has rich resources for doing this. First of all, there's a kind of reframing of the past, looking at it with fresh eyes, looking at it perhaps more with a God's eye perspective than with a view from our own egocentricity. That gives us a greater perspective and detachment, and that's helpful in itself. But it also helps to realize that things were not always quite what they seemed. Helpful to realize that God can and does bring some kind of blessing out of the worst setbacks. And if we can look at the past with that broader perspective, then things start to become a little more bearable. As we look back on our past, we naturally do it with mixed emotions. No one has a past that's all bad, but equally no one has a past that's entirely good. We all of us look back on the past tinged with some regret and sadness. And it's perhaps good that it should be so, otherwise life would be rather boring and monochrome. And I think it's important to see this in balanced perspective, to be able to see both the good and the bad in the past in a balanced way. And that doesn't happen automatically. We can get locked either into a cheerful mood in which we remember only the good things, or we can get locked in a bleak mood in which we remember only the bad things. And I want to say that there's something to be learned from everything in our past, good and bad, and we need to keep both in our sights in a balanced way. One of the mysterious things as you look back is how some of what you thought were the real problems, the low spots in your life, turn out to be richly blessed. They saved you, for example, from going up some blind alley and steered you in the direction that you needed to go in. And some of what you imagined at the time were the heights of achievement, the great treats of life, turned out to be strangely hollow, not the goodies that you initially took them to be. And as we ponder all that, we realize that God doesn't share our perspective on things, our values, our judgments. We don't have, naturally, a God's eye view on things, but we do well to learn to have a more God's eye view. And if we take that to heart, it will give us a humility about our own perspective and liberate us to welcome some of the unexpected things in our lives, and even to recognize the blessing that has come from some of the most painful things, and to broaden our understanding of the past, to reframe it in a way that will heal us. Then in healing the past, another crucial Christian resource is forgiveness. It's a word that trips off the tongue, perhaps rather too readily, so we don't quite connect with it. It's perhaps best defined as a kind of letting go of that complex of injured resentment that can churn away inside us, making it impossible to step outside our egocentricity, impossible to focus on anything objectively, impossible to move on. We need to let go of that complex of resentment. And that's what forgiveness is, letting go. The New Testament word that's translated forgiveness literally means release. And that's pretty close to letting go. And another important aspect of forgiveness is simply acceptance, coming to terms with what has happened, accepting reality for what it is. Sometimes we need to accept ourselves. Sometimes we need to accept other people. Sometimes we need to take on board that other people are prepared to accept us as we are, difficult though that can be sometimes. And all of that letting go, that acceptance, again helps to heal the past. And if we're to heal the past, we need a balanced relationship to it. We can't ignore the past. It's what it is. And it doesn't do any good to try and ignore it. But equally, we shouldn't allow ourselves to become prisoners of the past, trapped in it, constrained by it. We need to live with the past, but to live with it rather than to be killed off and imprisoned by it. And this is central to the principle of death to resurrection that's at the heart of Christianity. Jesus was crucified. No denying that, no trying to pretend that it didn't happen. And the resurrection didn't just ignore it or simply reverse things to how they'd been before. It started from there, from Jesus wounded and crucified. Things were never the same for him again, or for his friends and disciples who'd lived and worked with him. But the crucifixion wasn't a full stop. It opened up a new beginning. And that's perhaps a model of how to accept the past and to use it as a starting point for a fresh beginning. Living with the past, but not being imprisoned by it. And I think this is also the message of that badly misunderstood Christian word, repentance. Yes, it has an element in it of learning a proper regret about the past. But literally, it means new heart and mind. And that word repentance, properly understood, involves learning lessons from the past, but also making a fresh start, opening ourselves to that new heart and mind, which is what God is wanting to give us. The fresh start may take different forms. Where things have happened that soured relationships, the fresh start may involve reconciliation. And that's another central strand in the Christian armory, the work of reconciliation. As St. Paul puts it powerfully in one of my favorite verses in his epistles, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. But reconciliation is not always possible. It takes two. The other person may not be a willing partner. The other person may no longer be alive. But whether or not reconciliation is possible, it's always possible to learn from the past, to accept it, to see it from a broader God's eye perspective, to let go of the resentment and remorse associated with it, and then to move on, letting the past be healed and finding God's new beginning, whatever there is in the past that we regret deeply. May it be so for all of us. Amen.